it seems to change, right? Like it's something where somebody can either be pegged a whiner or an emotional leader. It just depends on who says it, right? Like it's one of those things where I still am an emotional player. That's what makes me successful in some parts, is like having that emotion and being into the game and not willing to take a step back and just being invested in it. And then at the same time, if you're not into it to that extent, then you don't care, or, you know, you're not into it enough. And, you know, so I think that's a hard thing to kind of to figure out at 18 years old, when you have, you know, as much pressure and expectations. And, you know, we went into that year being a Stanley Cup favorite. We lost our first 8 or 9 games, and here you are, the guy that's being talked about all the time, and you're on that team. And I think you shoulder and, you know, you take on some of that pressure.
But here's the thing about Sid the Kid and all that heat. He likes it. It fuels him. Back on the ice in Philly, the game was scoreless at the start of the third period. Sid was itching to get back out there and get on the board.
I knew I put my team in a bad spot, so I had a lot of time to think about it. I was in the box for 2 minutes, and then it was intermission. So I was like, I gotta have a big third here. Like, that was my mindset, is like, I gotta make good on this, because put us in a bad spot here.
And it didn't take long for Sid to make amends.
Great shift by Crosby out of the penalty box. Man, did he make it happen. And in a scoreless game, Crosby draws a power play for his club. That tells you about the tenaciousness of Crosby. Yes, his emotions got him. He certainly did in the second period, but this kid's he's a battler, and he came out and showed his colors.
This time, Sid and his buddy Ryan Malone would capitalize.
Nicknamed the wrecking ball. He gives it ahead now for LeClaire. Moving right in, got it to Crosby. Fed on a crossbar shot, score! Ryan Malone, a power play goal. 1-0 Pittsburgh.
Just moments later in the period.
It bounced around, rattled all around. They score out of a netmouse scramble. 2-0 Pittsburgh.
And then Crosby's in on it again. This kid, again, was told by his coaching staff between the periods, you can't do things like you've been doing. They can't take bad penalties. Well, the kids come back.
The Penguins scored twice in 56 seconds to take the 2-0 lead. But just as quickly, the Flyers answered in kind, with Joni Pitkinen scoring 2 quick goals to tie up the game. Regulation play ended 2-2. As the game headed into the 5-minute overtime period, Sid the Kid, the 18-year-old chosen as the next one, knew he had something to prove. To Hatcher, to the Flyers, to his team, to everyone in the league.
I loved it. I mean, we were getting lots of chances. And even for me, individually, I'm like, okay, I messed up, but I got to react to this the right way. Like, I can't sink and feel sorry for myself. Like, I got to find a way to, you know, to grab it and kind of show that, you know what, I made a mistake, but I'm gonna do my best to get us back in it.
Sidney loses his teeth. It really bothered me, but I also knew that it's a mistake.
That's hockey agent Dee Rizzo, who's worked with Sid since he was a teenager.
Obviously, the game was a little bit different then, too. As you guys know, there was a little bigger, not as much mobility, a lot of clutch and grab, and pissing Sidney off. I'm not saying I knew, but I sort of knew it was coming.
What was coming was a classic on-the-ropes move from Sidney Crosby. With 47 seconds left in the extra period, Ryan Malone fed Crosby for a breakaway.
Now Malone protects and sails it ahead, and here's Crosby on a breakaway. The game on his stick. Score! Sidney Crosby in overtime, and the Penguins have won the game 3-2.
That clutch response from Sid? Well, in hockey, there's a technical phrase for that.
He stuck it up their ass right away. I knew he was going to stick it up the Flyers' ass. I don't mean to swear, guys, but he stuck it up their ass.
It drove them more to just stick it where the sun don't shine.
It's kind of, I'm going to stick this up your ass. And it's just kind of like, yeah, like, fuck them, right? Fuck everybody. Like, we're it's us in the room here versus whoever. Bring us against anybody.
The Penguins won 3-2 in overtime.
Crosby the hero. Watch the pass. Right through the middle. Brilliant pass. I believe that was Malone. And Crosby saw the hole on the stick side, hit it, game over.
I just remember going back for the puck and just kind of peeking over my shoulder, and Sid was just busting through the middle, so I just turned and fired in the puck as fast as I could. And then he's alone on the breakaway, and he buries it. You know, it was just a great feeling, because especially when you have that little adversity and just the fans are on top of you, it's an emotional game.
That was the defining moment from his rookie season, when Hatcher knocked his teeth out and Sid scored the winning goal in overtime on a breakaway and then just sneered with this big, jagged tooth. Not grin, like I said, a sneer. And against the Flyers, the hated enemy.
I don't even know if it was a smile. It was more like, I don't even know how you describe that face, but I was pretty fired up. I think the play itself, Ryan Malone sent me in on a breakaway, so I remember having a lot of time. I think I had a breakaway from like the red line or the blue line in. Like, there was a lot of time, and almost, you know, sometimes you don't want that much time to think about it, but I had a lot of time and remember just coming down and thinking, like, I'm not gonna try anything fancy here. Like, I'm just gonna, you know, find my spot and try to put it there. And I think the goalie was Nita Mackey, and there was some room on the blocker side, and I just tried to make a quick shot and put it there. It was probably a feeling of relief and being excited and fired up. And obviously I had heard it from the crowd all night. So to be able to score that big one in overtime, and, you know, it was a bit of a roller coaster game, we'll put it that way. I wasn't feeling too good about myself between the second and third, but, you know, to have it finished that way felt pretty good.
It was big for Sid and everyone on the Pens, Coach Edzo too.
Considering everything that had placed, that it was the absolute perfect ending, and we were on the come. We were on the verge is that, okay, doesn't matter. You can try to run him out of the rink. You could try to test him. You could try to challenge him. You can knock his teeth out. You can draw him into a penalty. You could boo the shit out of him. But when the game's on the line, he's going to take his game to another level.
This was the moment Sid had been waiting for. To this day, everyone associated with Pittsburgh hockey, myself included, remembers that breakaway goal as a defining moment of Sidney Crosby's career.
So it goes to overtime, and he writes the script the way it's supposed to be written. You know, you can't stop me, so the only thing I'm going to do and the only way I'm going to react is I'm going to win the whole damn thing. You know, I'm not just going to score a goal. I'm going to score the goal that counts. And yeah, I mean, that's exactly, as a Penguin fan, what you wanted, right? You're just like, see you later. I'll take my teeth and go home.
And for Sid to do that night, you thought, this is something special. And it sent a message to his teammates. It sent a message to the Flyers. It sent a message to both fan bases. And it's been going ever since. That was the game to his teammates, to his organization. It's like, this is the guy that can lead us out of the wilderness. This is, in that environment, with that injury, popped in the mouth, you know, losing teeth, bleeding against a better team, that one moment changes things.
It's a moment Colby Armstrong will never forget.
I went to that Flyers game when I was in the minors, and I'm sitting in the stands. I was drinking a beer in the stands like a regular fan in Philadelphia, like, you know, that's Battle of Pennsylvania. And I remember a fan in Philly standing up and going, well, I think we better start getting used to this. And I was standing there, like, holding my beer, because everyone's on their feet, like, just kind of like, wow. You know, this 18-year-old kid just got his butt kicked all game and then, you know, struck to beat us in overtime. And everyone was on their feet when that fan said that. And I was just, like, shaking my head, like, oh, boy, he's probably right.
I just remember jumping up when he scored.
Sid's dad, Troy Crosby.
And only one jumped up was me. And everyone else started booing and, you know, swearing and cursing. And then to see him when he celebrated, he bends down, kind of crouches down, and he has that look on his face, and his blood and his teeth are gone, and he's like, what a cool, you know, it was a really proud moment for me. Like, hey, he stuck with it, and the best medicine is to win the game, and, you know, that's what he did, right? So it's one of my favorite moments of his career.
According to Mark Madden, Sid may never admit it, but he took particular pleasure in sticking it to the Flyers.
When Sid scored that goal at Philadelphia and did like the slow skate after he scored and just stuck it up that crowd's backside, in what I think is just the worst, most despicable city and worst set of sports fans existing anywhere. That showed right then and there he was one of us. And even though he will never say out loud he hates the Flyers, I know he does. I know for sure he does. Look at his production. Look at the way he plays against them.
Should have seen what was going to happen with his career right there. Like you said, like he takes that, and then he goes down and he scores the game-winning goal. So that shows you knew what he was going to be like from that game.
The numbers don't lie. As of January 2022, in 78 games against the Flyers, Sidney Crosby had posted 117 points, his second highest against any single team. And his 49 career goals against Philly is the most against any team in the NHL.
I don't think there's a coincidence that's a, is it because of fans, but it's rivalry? Yes. Do you thrive on that? Yes.
That's what these Philly fans, they don't realize. You do something like that to Crosby, it's only going to make him play better. And I'm sure that drove him. And you look at his numbers against Philly, they're always top because of that. Don't wake him up, you know? Don't give him another reason to dominate you.
That bloodied face, the crowds chanting Crosby sucks, the unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, it all fueled him. Sid the Kid proved he wouldn't be intimidated, even as an 18-year-old in the league.
And there's like amazing pictures that you see of like, you know, Philly fans giving the finger on the glass on a guy's picture or something that's like on the internet. You know, there's like always, it's always in Philly. And it's like, you know, to go in there and have that is, and experience it, especially on the other side, you know, is always, it kind of fuels you. It kind of fuels you to play well in those environments.
But the Philadelphia Flyers wouldn't be the only rivalry to loom large over Crosby his rookie season. He had a much more formidable opponent to face, a fellow rookie, Alexander Ovechkin. Chapter 5, Sid versus Ovi.
The Penguins entertaining the Caps for the first time this year. The big matchup, of course, the talk around all the NHL has been Sidney Crosby against Alex Ovechkin, and we got it all for you here tonight.
In the fall of 2005, there was only one player in the league who could lay claim to as much media hype and as much fan anticipation as Sidney Crosby. Alexander Ovechkin.
Ovechkin right on in. He scores! Alexander Ovechkin. One more time, he scores! Ovechkin, shot scores!
Guess who? Alexander Ovechkin.
If you're going to sketch a caricature of the perfect nemesis for a kid from small-town Nova Scotia, it'd be this guy. A massive 6'3" phenom from Moscow with a menacing gap-tooth grin. Before joining the NHL, this guy spent 4 years playing professional hockey for the Russian Super League. Sid the Kid, just 2 years in Canadian juniors.
The first thing I noticed about his game right away was just how powerful he was. You could tell when he skated, he was low to the ice. He closed ground quick, and he's a big guy, you know. And then his shot, I don't recall seeing a shot like that prior to seeing his, but his shot was incredible. He was able to get it off, you know, from pretty far back, which is not easy to do, and that's how you prevent it from getting blocked. So that skill and the way that he had that release was pretty eye-opening right away.
The hockey gods must have conspired to brew such a perfect storm. Both were number one picks in the NHL draft. Ovi in 2004 to the Washington Capitals, Sid in 2005 to the Penguins. And thanks to the 2004 league-wide lockout that wiped out an entire season, both top picks entered the league at the exact same time.
It was great. It was great. I thought it was fantastic for the game of hockey.
Agent Pat Brisson.
It's a faster league. It's immediately because those guys, I mean, both could skate and could push the pace. And they were extremely, extremely competitive with each other to a point where I don't even know if they were in the same room together by themselves, they might have got into it, you know?
As a hockey fan, I can confirm, this rivalry
was awesome. We couldn't wait to see these guys on the ice together.
Left winger Matt Murley remembers those Sid Ovi matchups well.
It was always exciting, and you knew he was ready for those games. They were both ready. Sid always wants to prove that he's the best and wants to just outperform anybody and just win. He wants to always win. That's all he cares about is winning, winning, winning. And he always knew those games were big to him.
I think it was a good thing. I think that the hard part about it was probably just built into this like heated rivalry right from the start. It was already, it was almost like we had played like 5 years against each other before we played one game. But you know, we both were young and wanted to prove ourselves, so you know, it was a good fit that way.
It's not like the Pens and Caps didn't already have beef. I mean, it goes way back.
Francis has it. He goes to Stevens. He's there. A shot.
We kept meeting them in the playoffs throughout the 90s.
Lemieux stuffs it in. 5-4 Pittsburgh. Oh, what a goal.
And the Pittsburgh Penguins have won the semifinal playoff round over the Washington Capitals by defeating the Capitals here tonight 3-1.
Then came consecutive postseason series in 2000 and 2001. Both were heated battles, and both times, thank God, Pittsburgh eked out wins over Washington.
Here's Marty Stracka. Lewis heads for the net. He scores!
On November 22nd, me and a few million NHL fans finally got what we'd been waiting for when the Caps came to the Berg. It was the first time Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin faced each other on the ice in the NHL.
The rookie watch is on. Who will be the rookie of the year? Could it be the 2005 model? Sidney Crosby comes with all the odds. So he can hit, he can pass, and he can score. He's got the hands to work things in tight. And Alexander Ovechkin, 2004 model, four-wheel drive. He's like a Hummer, Mike. He'll run you right over if he has to. Alexander Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby. What a show tonight.
Eddie Olczyk was the Penguins head coach Sid's rookie season.
This big, powerful, mean, goal-scoring machine in the grade eight against one of the strongest skaters and shiftiest players and skilled players and facilitators and finishers. Yeah, I mean, just so many layers to that story. And obviously, it hasn't disappointed over the years.
Even though, you know, the Philadelphia-Pittsburgh rivalry was like a huge rivalry, it still felt like Pittsburgh-Washington still had a little something different. I don't know if it was because of, you know, there was some playoff history there or just the fact that Alex and I were playing against each other. But, you know, there's a lot of eyes that were going to be on the game. And I think that it brought out everybody's best, and the intensity and the emotion in the game was just a little more than it would typically be.
When we begin play here in Pittsburgh.
It was a standing room only crowd in Pittsburgh. Nearly 17,000 fans filled the old arena known as the Igloo. Here's Penguins broadcaster Mike Lang.
Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, those two probably would be in that same category. When they played, everybody wanted to see the games and talk about it. So, and rightly so. I mean, they were two great, great players. And you know, competitive-wise, they come to play. And they'll give you all they got. That's when it's so much fun to watch. And they're not always the center figure. You know, they don't turn out to be the center figure in whether the game was won or lost. But they're the focus point, really, of everybody going to that game. And let's face it, I mean, they sell tickets. These guys sell tickets to see them play.
Alex, a special night. Have you been thinking about the fact you're playing Sidney for the first time?
Well, of course I'm thinking about it because everybody talking. I come here, watch TV, and everybody talking. Ovechkin, Crosby, Ovechkin, Crosby. But I think today play not Ovechkin and Crosby. Today play Pittsburgh and Washington. And I think today will be a great game.
I think early it was you're settling into a movie that is a couple hours long and you're into the first 5 minutes and you're sitting there going, man, I got to see every minute of this as it goes on because this thing's got a chance to be an award winner, and that rivalry, because of the teams and because of the greatness of both players, is not disappointed.
Heading into the 2005 season, there was no escaping the rivalry between Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin, the two high-profile rookies. The brash and animated goal-scoring machine versus the calculated tactician heralded as the next Wayne Gretzky. It was a media-ready storyline. And Sid, typical Sid, he didn't seem too fazed by it.
I think it's expected. You know, you have two guys that are coming in with really high expectations, first overall picks and under a microscope. One guy from Russia has got this big shot, tinted visor, very emotional, celebrates a lot of his goals. And then you got me, like, I don't have the shot. I'm probably more of a playmaker. We're just different players, different personalities. And it was a fun thing to compare and just create that type of competitiveness.
Some great players don't have a peer.
That's Tom McMillan.
There was Lemieux and Gretzky. You know, there was Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. And that's what this was. You could see that right from the start. Those games, even though the teams early on weren't very good, nobody really cared who won the Penguins or the Capitals game, those first 2 years, except for the fact that it was Sid versus Ovi. And that's why it was national TV. And so the teammates get caught up in that, and the fans get caught up in that. Ovi's first day on the ice in Pittsburgh, the fans never seen him play. They're booing him. Sid's down in the mud. They're booing him. You know, all of a sudden the Caps fans hate Sid. They don't even know who he is.
One was always going to be a measuring stick for the other. Even early on in the season, it was clear Sid and Ovi were in a race to see who'd win the Calder Trophy for Rookie of the Year. You'd think Sid would be keeping a close eye on Ovi.
There was this constant comparison, so he didn't really have to try hard to look on his progress. There was questions every day, whether it be about a highlight reel goal or a big game that he had. So I felt like everyone else was tracking progress, so I didn't really have to. It was right there in front of me every day, and we were pretty aware of that matchup and how that was going to unfold the whole year.
Sid's teammate, Matt Murley.
All those times when people were saying Ovechkin's better than him, like, I'd be laughing. I'm like, are you guys nuts? It's not even in a comparison. Yeah, I always said that he was more of a complete player. He makes everybody around him better. And then on the Ovechkin side, it's like, yeah, the guy scores every shot he takes. He's a bull. Like, he crushes guys. But his defensive game was always lacking. He eventually figured it out that he had to play a full game. But he wasn't setting up guys like Sid was or making guys better.
You might hate the constant comparisons. Like, you can't get away from the comparisons. And I remember when Sid once said, God, I wish I had Ovi's shot. You know, he just doesn't have that kind of shot. You admire what the other person could do. And, you know, I can't do that, but I can do this. Because I think those are games you get up for.
But Crosby thrived on it. The rivalry? That wasn't just media hype.
I wouldn't say it was manufactured. I think that with a lot of eyes on the games and the fact that we were playing against each other, and then with some of the stuff, you know, not these major incidents, but just like whether it's big hits or big games and things that happen over the years, you know, I think the rivalry builds, and that's just a natural thing that happens. So I don't think it was manufactured. I think that it definitely over the years built and built. And I think as far as the NHL building it up, I think that's what people get excited about. They get excited for matchups like that. And I thought Alex and I, we tried to be our best every night, but on those nights it probably brought out the best in both of us. And I hope it, you know, I hope that, you know, as we're looking back here, it's exciting for people to think back to some of those games, and they were emotional games, and they still are to this day.
Sid's teammates felt it too. Colby Armstrong was on the roster that season.
You get sucked into that rivalry or whatever it is of two guys going head to head like that. It becomes bigger than your team almost. But there was like a certain amount of hatred that came from it. And whether it was from the media, like, I don't know what it was, but just going against them, like, there's no way you're going to let that guy beat your guy, you know, or show up your guy that night.
It was clear Sid and Ovi got amped up when they played each other, that they fed off that competition. But with any great rivalry, you got to wonder, are these guys really enemies? Pat Brisson.
I wouldn't say that they hated each other. That mutual respect for each other. But you're competing so hard that you almost want to hate the person in order to, you know what I mean? It wasn't personal. It was more like, I got to be better than him and vice versa.
Over the years, Sid's been asked a million times if he harbors any real beef towards Ovi, but he's never wavered.
Matt Murley again.
He knows what's good for the game. He knows that rivalry is great for the game. And, you know, that's one thing he cares about, too, is making the game great and growing the game. Kind of like Gretzky always felt that burden, too. And when you watch Gretzky stuff or read Gretzky stuff, you see that Sid learned that all the same things and expects himself to carry on like he did.
We asked Sid to tell us how he really feels about Ovi.
We're just out there doing what we love to do and trying to be the best that we can be. And if that means like, okay, like, what do you think of his goal compared to his move? And if that's kind of creating that kind of talk, that's awesome. I mean, that's what you love as a competitor, but I wasn't trying to one up him or any of that. I think we're both just having fun being kids in the NHL.
After more than 16 seasons in the league together, it's not like these guys are strangers.
I mean, as years have gone on, we've, you know, whether it's like awards, all-star games, we've probably gotten closer over the years just because of that. I feel like a lot of the milestones he's gotten over the years, he's playing against us. He's played against Pittsburgh in some of those. So just being part of those moments and just all the games we've played against each other and that sort of thing. I mean, you know, it's very few people that can relate to, you know, the same kind of thing that we came into. And I think as far as just the expectation in the league and kind of crossing paths so many times with different things, yeah, I think it's probably developed more over the years. And no, it's been fun to compete against them. And, you know, we've had a lot of kind of heated moments on the ice, but I think there's a lot of respect there.
Jen Bolano has managed media relations for the Penguins since Sid's rookie year and is close with Sid.
Sid equates to Ovi from a hockey perspective, but they're different people, different personalities. I think people want to make it a bigger deal. Like, I get requests like, oh, Ovi's going to score his 500th goal. There's a chance he could do it while they're... Do you think there's any way Sid would congratulate him? Why wouldn't he congratulate him? Sid would congratulate any hockey player on scoring 500 goals. But there's that, like, that's what I mean, that hint of, oh, I don't know if he'd want to do it. Of course he's going to do it. They probably have brought the best games out of each other in that competitive nature, you know? And it was never going to be like, who's going to be the face? Who's going to be better? That was all played on the outside. On the inside, I mean, you know, yeah, I'm sure there's private moments, but, you know, it is what it is. There's nothing more to make of it.
The thing was, for that late November matchup, there was a reason why all eyes were on Sid versus Ovi and not on the Penguins versus the Caps. For the first half of that 2005-2006 season, both teams, well, it kind of sucked. Here's Troy Crosby.
It was always a big deal, but back then the Capitals were not very good, and the Penguins were not very good either. They're both in the bottom of the league, so it was like when they played each other, that was the big thing. Let's talk about Sidney versus Ovechkin.
There had been talk of the Pens as Stanley Cup favorites that year, but heading into the November 22nd game against the Caps, Pittsburgh was 6-9-6. Six wins, nine regulation losses, and six overtime shootout losses. That included a nine-game losing streak to start the season.
It was a learning curve because expectations were large.
Coach Olczyk.
Because a year before, we were rock bottom. And we were at the beginning of a rebuild. And all of a sudden, you know, we win the lottery and Mariel comes back and then we go spend all this money. It's like, okay, well, we're expected to make the playoffs. So there was a lot of transition there. And I think that's what the expectations were. And then when we got off to a bad start, everybody started getting frustrated. Everybody started questioning the coaching. Everybody started questioning the line combinations.
Prior to going into the season, we were a big favorite. That was just words, and that's just what I heard. And from looking at our roster, that seemed really possible. But I think once you get in it and you're losing games and there's expectations and everyone's kind of got their opinion as to why you're losing. And obviously, I'm a big focal point of that too. Like, I know I was a young player, but even at that time, there's still things that maybe it's because I took a stupid penalty or the narratives of the diving or the whining. You know, there's just a lot of things to balance. I mean, you think about going on your first year in the NHL, it's like, oh, this is all going to be fun. And here we are. We got this team that's a favorite. Like, this is going to be unbelievable. Six power plays a game. You know, how good is this? But that's not reality. There's a lot of ups and downs within a season. And I think I found that out pretty quickly.
And Sid? Sid hates losing.
You know, he won his whole minor hockey career. Cole Harbour, they won everything they could win. Cole Harbour, even Rimouski, he won their league championship. Rimouski, they go to the Memorial Cup. So he's not used to losing. That's not his DNA about losing.
That's Sid's dad, Troy Crosby, again.
So I guess even being 18 in the NHL, maybe he didn't realize it's not easy to win the NHL. I don't know.
All those emotions I had going into the year, like I'm looking at our team thinking, look at our team, we're stacked. And then to have this like 0-8 or 0-9 start, it's the biggest wake-up call. Like, hey, this is the NHL, you know? you got to be good every night, and it doesn't matter, you know, what your team's like on paper. So it was a wake-up call.
I mean, we were all frustrated. We got dominated. We got to help, you know, we were getting killed by everybody.
I definitely remember like frustration building with, you know, with the team. I remember watching that. And I think as a young competitive guy, and we talk about pressure and, you know, expectation, to be in that is, you know, I think different for him. I watched his team the year previous play in the final game of his junior career and lose in the Memorial Cup final. So I think he's kind of used to success, and it didn't go, it wasn't going good.
At one point during a loss against the Bruins on October 22nd, Sid's frustrations boiled over. Cameras caught him smashing his stick in the tunnel walking off the ice.
It happens with young players. It happens with older players. And I think as a coach, you just try to say, hey, look, we can't have you letting out your frustrations like that. You need to have more control. You're a leader on this team, even though you've only been around a couple of months. And you let him work it out. Look at, I mean, did he do some immature things at times? Yeah, but he was only 18 years old.
Obviously, frustrations are going to happen, and that's the competitive spirit in Sid and the nature.
This is Mark Recchi.
He was upset, and he showed it, which is fine. He was becoming the leader of the team, and I'm sure we talked in the dressing room after, but, you know, that's no big deal at all. You're passionate about the game. You're going to have those bursts out and those emotions that come out.
It was out of wanting to win. It was out of wanting to gain an edge, whether it was communicating with referees or slamming a stick on the sideboards or breaking sticks. Those conversations were hard, but were warranted, and he understood. And look, we all let the emotions get the best of us at some point. That did not bother me at all. I love to see the emotion.
What weighed on me the most was that we had those expectations of, like, being a really good team and contender and the Stanley Cup in your head before you even step foot in the NHL, but you dream of winning the Stanley Cup. So for us to feel like we're a contender and to think that's going to happen, like, you get your hopes up. So to see that dwindle pretty quick, I think, weighed on me a lot. I think it was an emotional roller coaster the whole year, just because we start off with that record. You think, oh, we're going to be this powerhouse, and it doesn't work out that way. I was playing okay, but it was just like we were losing, so you don't have a good feeling about that.
Announcer Mike Lang, who developed a close relationship with Sid through the years, remembers trying to give the rookie some perspective.
And I don't know if he would remember this, but it was mid-season, and they won 22 games, I think, the first year that he was there. And I was just in one of those moods, and I could see he was not down, but just sitting in the back, and I grabbed that damn encyclopedia, you know, that weighs about 12 pounds, of the NHL book, and I just went through it, and I wanted to look something up. And I did, and I walked back, and I just said, I'm going to just give me a second of your time. And he looked at me, and I said, yeah. I just sat down. I said, I want to show you something. And I went to Joe Sakic, okay?
Joe Sakic played 20 seasons for the Colorado Avalanche franchise and won two Stanley Cups, but was no stranger to team struggles.
And I showed him his first 3 years in the league and what numbers that he put up and what happened. And at that time, they were a great franchise. And Sakic is a Hall of Famer, obviously. I said, you got a whole lot to look forward to. Simple as that. I said, your better days are coming. Just you wait. And I just took the book and had a smile, gave him a fist pump, and went back and went to my seat. But there are going to be days like that.
Sid remembered getting that pep talk from Mike.
To feel that support, to feel like you've got so much weight on your shoulders and so much pressure, and you feel like, here we are, we're supposed to be this favorite. I come in here and I don't really deliver. Like, I feel like you kind of own or take that responsibility. So, you know, for him to try to turn that into something positive, you know, make me feel like, hey, this is a really good learning experience, and really feel like you had people around you that are not only pulling for you, but want to help and help so you have success.
Sid had people in his corner, but it didn't erase the reality of the pressures facing him in that moment. He was riding a string of disappointing losses and high expectations going into that first showdown with Alex Ovechkin. The stakes couldn't have been much higher. Sid's agent, Pat Berson, remembers the buildup.
There's so much electricity in it. You could honestly close your eyes on those games and feel that it wasn't Pittsburgh, Washington, it was Crosby, Ovechkin. I mean, with all due respect, all the other players who were on the ice.
As the team took the ice, Crosby sure looked like a guy with something to prove. Already two goals up in the first, Sid put his imprint on the rivalry.
Sidney. Crosby going right through Crosby. He shouts and scores as he beats Colzing like a rented mule. And the Penguins lead 3-0. Sidney Crosby.
The Penguins had a 4-0 lead after the first period. But the Caps rally back with help from Ovi.
Oh, here's an intercept here. Panther comes in and he scores. Big goal there by the Capitals. Ovechkin made the pass.
Is that Ovechkin off the wall?
Yes.
Oh, that was an absolute play by Ovechkin.
Ovechkin dominated play in the third period.
He turns and shoots it. Where is it? It's blocked. He's on the puck again. He won't quit.
Boy, is he a load to handle.
With most of the hockey world watching, the game was living up to the hype.
If you miss this one, shame on you for 6 weeks. This has been thoroughly entertaining. Everything it was billed to be and more. These two guys have put on a show tonight.
The Penguins almost blew their early lead, but in the end, Pittsburgh walked away with a much-needed 5-4 win. Round one of Sid versus Ovi went to the Kid.
And the Pittsburgh Penguins have held on and have defeated the Washington Capitals here tonight by the score of 5-4. What a hockey game.
Penguin Ryan Whitney.
Beating Ovechkin probably felt great because, you know, everyone had lined them up head to head and they're finally going meeting each other in the regular season and Sid gets the best of them. So that's one that feels good.
One thing was clear. The Sid-Ovi rivalry didn't just make those two guys play with more fire. It made their teams play harder too.
We all knew like what was happening and we all knew the rivalry. And I think it definitely got more out of us, but also, it was like a situation where it was just like, okay, let the talking do it, and we'll just kind of stay away from it because there's enough going on his shoulders anyways, regardless of the added stuff. So it was kind of like, it was there, but you don't talk about it almost, you know? It's there, you thought about it, but it was just like something that happened. I don't think it was something that we talked about. We just knew that like, hey, we got to beat Ovechkin. We got to have our guy do good.
Here we are. 16 years later, and the Crosby-Ovechkin rivalry is still alive and well. They're in their mid-30s now, both still playing, and both considered to be two of the best players the NHL has ever seen.
Who's better, Sid or Ovi? That's the big question. And still to this day, I think when they play, obviously that's the, you know, turn on Twitter and here's a poll. Who's better, Sid or Ovi? You know, they'll hype it up. The hype machine gets going. You know, when those guys were going head-to-head, especially in their younger days and what that was like to go into that game. And I can just tell you, like, I felt it because I wanted to, like, the same thing. You know, you want your guy to do good. You know, you want your guy. And as good as Ovi was, like, he's tough to play against, too. Like, the guy's a freaking beast out there.
Penguins' Jen Bolano believes it's all just made both of them better.
I think Sid and Ovi needed each other because they fueled each other. They went through a lot together. I mean, they were the rebranding of the NHL. They were the change that the NHL needed. And the Sid-Ovi rivalry, probably hyped up a little more by the media than anything, but awesome, right? I mean, some of the most memorable games of my career, you know, watching were Sid and Ovi. I mean, you don't have playoff games that have two hat tricks, you know, and one of them has to lose. It's pretty incredible. But right from the get-go, I think they were pinned like against each other as these big rivals. But they actually went through a lot of the same things. And that's the part that people don't get. You know, that's another one where there's just a mutual respect. You know, on the ice, they may hate each other. You know, it's just the way it is, right? And again, they play completely two different styles. Sid sees the game, the big picture, the 200-foot game. Sid is like, can set up a play before the puck's on his stick, whereas Ovi's a natural goal scorer. He's going to shoot that puck like a laser beam from all over the ice, and he's going to hit you hard. He's not going to let up because you're Sidney Crosby, and, you know, he plays him probably harder than he plays anyone in the league, and that's good. They need each other. Sid and Ovi need each other.
As for Sid, he agrees. He wouldn't have it any other way.
I think it's unique in a way because it's just the way things worked out. You know, there's expectations on a lot of guys coming in and it doesn't always work out that way. And he could end up in the Western Conference and I might only see him once or twice a year. And maybe that didn't develop into what it was. And just the whole basis around it, I think just it definitely turned into a rivalry and probably was built into one before it even started. But it did end up going that way, so it wasn't that far-fetched, but it was almost built that way before we had even a chance to really play against each other. for it to have lasted this long and for us to have played each other in the playoffs all these years. And, you know, we went through them and ended up winning. They went through us and they ended up winning. Like, it's pretty amazing and it's unique. And I think it's gotten the best out of us probably to a certain extent because of it.
Chapter 6, Canada Hearts Sid.
From downtown Toronto, it's the Toronto Maple Leafs hosting the Pittsburgh Penguins at the Air Canada Centre, and Sidney Crosby makes his much-anticipated first showing as a National Hockey League superstar in Canada.
On New Year's Day 2006, the Pittsburgh Penguins boarded the team plane and 2 hours later touched down in Toronto. The team was north of the border for 2 games. First against the Maple Leafs, and the following day against the Montreal Canadiens. It was the first time Sidney Crosby had returned to his native Canada since joining the NHL.
Imagine how big that was. He'd already played 3 months in the league and had not played in Canada yet. You know, CBC and TSN, they were all in Pittsburgh all the time. So this was a huge deal.
Penguins communications director Tom McMillan was there as Sid and the team struggled to find a place to practice. Toronto's primary NHL rink was being used for a Canadian League game, so the team had to travel from the hotel to the exhibition grounds to play.
There was this mass of autograph seekers outside the hotel. The hotel security's doing well, keep away, but they all get in cabs. We're going down what I'm assuming was the QEW. There were 5 or 6 cabs following us. It was like a scene out of a movie. We get to near the rink. And remember, this is a rink that NHL teams usually didn't practice in. And the cab driver can't find the entrance. And I'm starting to really squirm in my seat. I'm starting to sweat. And he goes and turns around, and all 6 cabs following us turn around. Turns around again, all 6. So it's this caravan. It was Keystone Cops. So what's going to happen? And finally, our cab driver rolls his window down and asks one of the other cabbies, and the fans are hanging out the window with their pick. And I'm thinking, Sid's dad and agent are going to kill. Sid's laughing the whole time. And I'm saying, they're going to kill me. I'm sweating buckets. Finally, we found the entrance. We got him in. So we avoided an incident. His first day practicing in Canada. I have no memory of the practice at all. I was just so happy we got in the door.
There was so much excitement. Even Tom became famous around Toronto.
You forget your face is on TV. I'm walking to get a paper down Yonge Street that afternoon of the game, and these kids, these teenagers run up to me and said, are you the guy with Sid? Like, he was such a big deal coming to Canada that they recognized the PR guy who was just walking down the street as someone who was attached to Sidney Crosby. All of a sudden, you became someone they wanted to talk to. So I knew he'd be big in Canada, and I'd certainly covered a lot of hockey in Canada, but I'd never seen anything quite like that.
Hall of Famer Mark Recchi was the Penguins' left winger that season. He'd also won a Stanley Cup for the franchise alongside Mario Lemieux in 1991.
It was unreal, you know, and I'd seen it with Mario, so I'd already have a taste of it because it was the same way with Mario. It was like, wow.
Recchi remembers how he and Sid's other teammates tried to shield the rookie from the mayhem.
And again, we're all trying to protect him. We're all trying to manage him, keep people away. And I think he got pretty good at finding side doors and finding ways to get around it a little bit. But it was incredible. I mean, the passion that the Canadian hockey fans have is unreal.
The Sid mania even surprised Pens goalie and fellow Canadian, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Every time we went to Canada, it was crazy. Every trip was crazy. Like, the amount of people with his jersey, with signs, you know, with his name on, and people waiting at the hotel, at the bus, at the rink, you know, everybody's trying to find him. And, you know, we go to dinner before games and stuff like that, and people are waiting outside or asking pictures and stuff. Like, he's like definitely a superstar, you know, and almost a rock star, you know, in Canada.
But for Sidney, it wasn't always fun to be in the spotlight.
Yeah, I think I was always aware of the possible distraction it could be. I think that was probably something I was a little bit more worried about, just given the fact that I was a young player. I'd come into the league, hadn't accomplished anything. I was first overall pick, and there was a lot of expectations and media hype surrounding that, but I really hadn't made it. I hadn't done anything in the NHL, and there were so many accomplished players and people around me, and I wanted my focus to be about the team. That's what I cared about. And I can remember going for dinners early on and, you know, be autograph seekers following me and things like that. And I was always worried that guys are going to be annoyed with having to deal with everything that was kind of surrounding me and that being a distraction. So it wasn't easy. I had to find a way to kind of get through that and balance that out. But it was always something on my mind, especially early on.
Back come the Leafs the other way. McCabe, Cavaliers trailing the two defensemen. Up in the ring. Shot.
In their first game out, the Penguins ended up falling to the Maple Leafs 3-2 in overtime. The following day, they headed to Montreal to play the Canadiens at the Bell Centre, the team Sidney rooted for as a child. The scene there? Even more chaotic than in Toronto. Matt Murley, known as Murls, was Sidney's roommate during that trip.
Because of all the hoopla, like if we were in Montreal, there, I'm sure there was people trying to call the hotel, like, give me Sidney Crosby's room, you know? So him and Mario would be under fake names, but I would be under my name. So it'd be whatever the fake name was in Matt Murley's room.
Colby Armstrong grew up in Saskatchewan.
The reverence for hockey, I think, in Canada is just different. I think it's just like the culture, lifestyle of Canadians around hockey is just so much bigger.
He seemed as surprised as anyone by the scene that awaited them in Montreal.
The vibe in the city on game day was like electric. It was amazing as a player to feel it. It was amazing to feel the media hype around it and then like the electricity of anticipation for fans to watch them.
Colby loved the energy. And he also never missed an opportunity to rib Sid for being an 18-year-old sensation.
We were in a hotel. We walked to the rink in Montreal, and there's a little gas station, a little Esso gas station right across the street, usually from where our bus pulls in. And we walked to the game, which is like crazy. And I wanted to stop at this Esso gas station, and I wanted to get a Red Bull for the game. Stupid, probably. So he's like with me. So he's like puppy dogs in there into the gas station with me, following me around. I'm in there. There's like a Sidney Crosby life-size cutout in the corner of the gas station, like a Gatorade advertisement booth set up for like the latest flavor of Sidney Crosby Gatorade, you know? I'm loving it. You know, I'm like going crazy. I'm like, get my little Red Bull. I'm like, oh, I'm like, check this out. I'm like standing next to it being an idiot. There's like one other person in the store. The guy working there is like, figured it out. He put it together. He figured out that Sid, the other person in the store, figured it out. Then we're outside, everyone starts looking. It's like everyone had this radar, like, oh my God, there he is. And so like it went from like being like a quick stop in to like, you know, slowly a crowd starts to build as we're like walking to the rink and people start like noticing and it starts getting like way more hectic. And you know, Montreal is down on game day around there. It starts to get a little busy. It's like picking up, especially when Crosby's there. So it's just kind of like you never seen it almost unless you're around, you know, some of those greats of the game in certain situations.
Sidney may have tolerated all the attention, but Colby fed off it.
I got so jacked up about it. Like, I would love it. I would love, like, the feeling. He would just, like, laugh at me because I was, like, giddy. I was like, this is amazing. Look at this. This is incredible. And he'd be like, oh, man, like, relax, you know? And, like, didn't really faze him. Maybe he's used to it, I guess. I wasn't. I was played in the minors for 3.5 years, for crying out loud. This is, like, everything I dreamed of times 10.
No matter where he traveled, the mobs of fans, the swarming media, that had simply become the reality of Sidney Crosby's life. Back home in Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia, he'd done his first media interview at age 7. By the time he was 13, when he played in travel tournaments around Canada, arenas would be packed with people trying to get a glimpse of the young phenom. But Sidney always seemed to know, almost instinctively, how to manage the melee.
I think I just understood it was part of putting my gear on that day. It was just media. I don't think I let it get to me too much. For sure, there were times where maybe I didn't agree with something or didn't want to have to answer questions about something else, but for the most part, I didn't let it affect how I dealt with it or what I needed to do on the ice. So I think it was something that was part of my life from a pretty early age and just needed to find out the best way that kind of I could deal with it or make it work for me. And I think the best way was always being myself, trying not to really put anything up there that was bulletin board material.
Pat Bresson is Sid's agent, He remembers when Sid, only 17 at the time, signed a deal with Reebok and the press conference that followed.
We showed up in the press conference in Toronto and we opened the doors. It was a lockout year and there's 25. No, if there's not 25 riders, it's probably 30 to 40. They're all there lined up for him. It's a Q&A, and this kid walks in there like, I'm nervous for him. I'm nervous, like, I don't even know. And I know that I don't know if I would have managed myself the press conference, and I was an adult, the way he handled it.
I guess it was a big deal, but we try to downplay it a bit. As a parent, you don't want him to get, you know, big head or that kind of thing. He's better than anyone else. You know, he hasn't proved nothing yet.
He has a gift. He's extremely talented, very confident, smart, and he's got ice in his veins, I guess. I mean, he was like that at 14, 15. But he didn't want the stage either. He always kept saying at that time, I'm not in the NHL yet, and therefore he acted accordingly. It's remarkable. I've learned a lot through his growth.
The media scrum started on day one of the NHL for Sid, literally. Tom McMillan remembers how Sid handled himself on draft day.
And the first one was at the draft, and he comes in that day, and it was, I couldn't believe that you could have an 18-year-old who was that mature. I didn't want to say mature beyond his years. It was ridiculous maturity. He could handle those situations so well. That's what struck you. You knew he was a great player, but he knew what he wanted to do. He knew what he wanted to say. He knew where he wanted to go. This is the way I dress. This is the way I present myself. He already had his own brand in mind.
But that doesn't mean it wasn't stressful for Sid.
You know, early on, I think you're always just a little nervous. You don't want to say the wrong thing, or you don't want to make it about you. It's about the team. That's the way it should be, and that's always the way it is. But when you have that many people, you know, in a scrum asking you questions, I think it's, you know, at first when you go through that, it's obviously a little bit of an adjustment. But I just kind of got used to that being the way it is and just trying to be aware of what I was saying.
Jen Bolano manages PR for the Penguins.
He pays attention to everything, always aware of his surroundings. We could be in a mob of people sticking him on a bus or coming out of a hotel, and there could be 15 autograph seekers that are just trying to get his autograph to sell it, and a little boy holding the smallest item to get signed, and I'll get back off the bus and get that item, bring it to Sid, bring it back out to that little boy.
As savvy as he was at navigating the massive press scrums and piles of interview requests, Sidney Crosby was never more serious and thoughtful than when it came to the press and his fans in Canada.
He understands. So we're in a Canadian city. He has to do a bunch of media, but he has to hurry up, shower, change. 9 out of 10 times there's family there too, but he wants to do it because he grew up as a young hockey player watching these shows and thought it was really cool. Like, remember seeing some of the greatest players do that.
Here's Marc-Andre Fleury.
The media coverage, they start talking about the game that Sid's playing in Canada like days before, right? Let's say we're playing Calgary, and then on the news, they're already talking about Sid going to Vancouver in 4 days, you know? So it's like, we definitely knew about the hype, and you could feel it in the building too. I don't know, I just think it's such a, it's almost like a religion, you know, for Canadians to be watching hockey.
Here's Penguins broadcaster Mike Lang.
He has a deep respect, I think, for all Canadians and playing for them when he has in his career. So I think that there is kind of a, he's ours, he's our boy, you know? So let's go tell him we appreciate it. And he knows that, and he responds to it, and I'm sure he is pleased with the way they respond to him as much as they respond to watching him play on a daily basis. So it's a great love affair, really, with the Canadian people.
I think it's just a huge sense of pride. I mean, it's a game that's very popular, that we're very proud of. The people who play it, we look at them as role models. There's just so many things about the game. I mean, it gives you a sense of community.
But there were times when all of that fan excitement boiled over and managing the attention bordered on dangerous.
I mean, I remember being places with him where I remember one time there was a bicycle rail and people were pushing so hard on it that it was just bowing, you know, a metal bicycle rail. And I remember sometimes thinking, like, what is 5'4" me going to do if someone doesn't listen when we say stand back, you know? And we always had other people around us, but it was just, you know, his teammates were really good about that too in those instances. But there were times where I think back now, we wouldn't have let that happen. I remember one time being in Ottawa and we actually made like a staff human chain to the bus so that he could walk behind us because there were so many people in the parking lot and no one was monitoring it because it was a public rink. And so, like, I think the entire city of Ottawa was there. And I remember we were just standing like shoulder to shoulder and he was walking behind us with his teammates so that people couldn't get through. There's been some crazy ones for sure.
Especially in Canada, the way LeBron was treated here, probably in the U.S., Sydney was treated in Canada. They use that word, the next one.
That's Sid's longtime agent, D. Rizzo.
There's times as a agent slash advisor slash manager, I've come up to him and I said, hey, Sid, I think we should do this, this and that. And he's always a gentleman about it, but he'll pull back maybe and say, you know, Riz, maybe we should do it this way. And I said, Jesus Christ, this kid's telling me I'm not supposed to be giving him the guides. And I go like, okay, Sid, you're right. And it's just a unique thing. It's just so special, you know, what he's done over the years.
But for a lot of fans, it wasn't just about Sidney Crosby being from Canada. It was about him being from the Maritimes, those tiny remote provinces on the far eastern coast. And identifying with the Maritimes was important for Sidney and his family, too.
Really proud. I mean, that's the first word that comes to mind when I think of being from the Maritimes, just being really proud and thinking about the guys that I looked up to. You know, we were kind of the smaller provinces playing in, you know, national tournaments or in bigger tournaments. We were always kind of that smaller team, a smaller population, and kind of had this chip on our shoulder. We went to places like, hey, we got to prove that we can play with these guys, whether it was from Quebec or Ontario.
I think they're hardworking. Maritimers are hard workers. They're good people. They're honest. They're just no shortcuts. And then they probably have something to prove to other parts of the country, maybe, because they're always thinking the small town Maritimers, a bunch of fishermen down here. We don't know what we're doing down here. So a little bit of motivation there, you know. We're not all fishermen down here. You can do other things too, besides fish.
I remember going to bigger tournaments and, you know, they had, you know, team bus or they had matching equipment and things like that. You know, you might not necessarily have had that, but there was just like this sense of pride that we're going to be a hardworking team and we're going to play together.
That's pretty cool. A small place like this, we have three guys in the top five in NHL scoring. I mean, they're just proud of their athletes because we're proud people and be able to excel at the world stage or, you know, just bragging rights for Nova Scotians.
Sid was cherished in Canada. Heck, the Canadian media had dubbed him the next Gretzky. And that is what made this all the more shocking.
A lot of familiar names, too. They decided to go with experience over youth.
Sidney Crosby is nowhere. Did that surprise you?
In mid-December of Sid's rookie season, just 11 days before that first Pens road trip to Toronto and Montreal, the Canadian national hockey team announced its roster for the 2006 Winter Olympics. Sidney Crosby didn't make the cut.
Sidney Crosby not on the team, even though Mario Lemieux had made it very clear he thought Sidney Crosby should play, maybe even if Mario couldn't play.
For a rookie, that wouldn't normally come as a huge surprise. But this was Sidney Crosby. And in the weeks leading up to the roster announcement, word on the street was that he was in the running.
I was disappointed only because there was a slight chance, and I mean, it wasn't even on my radar going into the season, so I think once it was starting to be talked about, I think that I probably got my hopes up a little bit. But then once they picked a team, it was more just like, that's good. You didn't even expect to be in the conversation, and you're doing some good things. Like, that's just kind of how I dealt with it.
Pat Brisson.
I do remember he was extremely disappointed, and then I remember not only Sid didn't make it, but I think Eric Staal. I do remember Eric Staal's name because both of them were faster and probably better than some of the old guards who were there, should have been at the Olympics, and he was very disappointed. He didn't show too much remorse. He kept it inside as usual. It fueled him to show people, you know, wrong.
And here's the kicker. Team Canada's executive director, the decision maker, was Wayne Gretzky himself, one of Sidney's childhood heroes, the one he'd been compared to all his life.
I remember when Gretzky was there, like watching on our practices and stuff, and they were deciding. And I think that decision had to be made like really early on, maybe the first 15, 20 games or something, where, yeah, Sid was doing great, but he really shot off like once they moved him to like the center. I was really surprised when he didn't make it, because I figured you put him on there, even if he's not going to play a lot that year, he's there to get that experience and he's going to be your Olympian for the next 20 years. So I remember being really surprised he got left off, and I remember Gretzky caught some grief for it.
I remember thinking it was bullshit too. Like, I remember thinking, like, how do you not take this kid? How does he not make this team even as like an extra guy or something, you know? Like, there's got to be some place for a guy that's doing what he's doing at this age.
Mark Madden had harsher words about the decision.
It was absurd that Sid wasn't on that team. Look how he played in the league that year. He's one of the best players in the league as an 18-year-old. Definitely a shortcoming, definitely a fail on Gretzky's part.
Looking back on it, Sid's dad is more understanding.
At the time, like, he's 18, starting the season. Who would have even thought he'd begin the conversation, right? I mean, it's like disappointing for sure, but expectation wasn't there, really, him to be on that team. I mean, hindsight, maybe, yeah, you can say maybe he should have, but I mean, I don't think you can really argue that he should have been there too much, because he's such a young kid. Just a tough decision.
A tough decision that Sidney, in typical Sid fashion, just used as fuel going forward. He'd make sure Team Canada never overlooked him again.
I think in the second half, I wanted to make sure that I was part of that conversation the next time. That was definitely motivating.
So yeah, Canada loves Sidney, but he wouldn't be representing them at the Olympics. He may have been the number one draft pick. He may have been dubbed the next Gretzky, but he was still 18. He still had to prove himself.
Tonight, Sidney makes his first appearance in Montreal and looks to dream a new dream, winning here in a Penguin jersey. Pens, Canadians, next.
That was the backdrop for Sidney Crosby as Pittsburgh rolled into Montreal on January 3rd. The Olympic snub. The mobs of media and fans, the expectations of playing back home in Canada, and just to top it off, he was going up against the team he rooted for as a kid. The team he'd crossed his fingers and hoped he'd be drafted 2 months earlier. His beloved Canadiens.
And we are in Montreal, the Penguins, the first of two visits here to this building.
It was a lot.